down. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Planet FM 104.6. It's 6:30 on a Monday night, which means it is third and footlong showtime. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm DT.
Good evening, DT.
Good evening, Darren.
How are you?
I'm doing all right, Darren. How was your weekend?
It's been amazing, actually.
It's a nice long weekend.
And I've had my daughter and her partner and my grandson over from Australia.
Nice. You get lots of toys or anything?
We have been purchasing lots of toys. Yes.
What's he into at the moment? Dinosaurs, cars?
No, dinosaurs. Terrified of dinosaurs.
Terrified of dinosaurs.
Went to Butterfly Creek today, not buying into dinosaurs at all.
Okay.
Not buying into chickens either.
Oh.
No.
I guess, well, those are dinosaur predecessors, aren't they? If you want to, like, maybe he's made the evolution connection.
Bought into the train.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, love the train.
Thomas Tank Engine?
Did not love coming off the train.
What?
No. As in getting off the
train.
Okay,
no, sorry, I thought he fell off the train, and I was like, to be fair, if I fell off a moving train, I also would have some issues.
Yeah, getting off transport was not his favourite.
So he's a transport.
He loves transport, yeah. We bought him a car and a little jigsaw thing from Butterfly Creek today.
Cute.
And he bought a police car the other day, and he was very into the planes at Motat.
Oh, yeah.
Getting into the helicopter.
Yep.
Very much into that. But they go home tomorrow. Sad times.
Sad times. Back to a quieter household for you.
Not been too bad.
Okay.
We've put them as far away down the other end of the house as we can.
Oh, yep.
Like in the neighbour's house.
How's your little dog with the little boy?
The dog has been fine.
That's
Bear
nice.
Has been remarkable.
Bear's
not been minding sharing the attention.
Oh, nice.
No, Bear's been okay. He's probably listening now, so he's probably like, you do like me after all.
Despite the fact that
you fight with me and beat me up and everything like that, you do like me.
I know you like me.
No, Bear. In case you're listening. Which will upset my daughter.
Yes.
Because she loves him. Doesn't your whole
family love the dog?
Well, I don't know. We kind of use him as a bit of a fighting kind of thing.
Okay.
I kind of get down on the floor with him. We kind of scuffle on the floor.
With a dog. Your dog is also a small dog.
It is a small dog.
Everyone know this.
Yeah, Darren, pick on someone your own size, will you?
It's not a Great Dane.
That's right. No, as not. Not at all.
But one of those like dogs, they're like giant bears.
That's right. He's not called Bear because he's giant.
No.
No, quite the opposite, because he's a teddy bear. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, everyone. What can you expect? You can expect the food stroke drink charts, NFL news, the college football final, as was exclusively broken on this program last week, that it was the college football final.
Yes.
No one in the world knew that until we broke it.
I know.
And then we will talk about today's NFL championship games, of which you could not have had two more different games.
I know. One of them you could barely see.
Indeed. By the end, it was that. But as always, if you are listening, don't forget to follow our social media. We've got lots of content going out at the moment on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram. And, of course, get the podcast on all good and some average podcast platforms.
I don't know why you make fun of the average one.
I know.
The average one's actually
perform
right.
They deserve to be mentioned, though.
Well, you can go. We're listed on 21 different platform providers.
Do you know what's funny? We got a message through one of the platforms.
Yes.
You know, we did the TikTok trend about giving up summer for 2026.
Oh, yeah.
And I filmed giving up Red Bull.
Mm-hmm.
Someone messaged me and went, you actually had me fooled for a while. I couldn't believe I was watching you pour Red Bull down the sink, and then you walked back and just took it out of the sink and went, Nah, I don't think so.
No, you're pretty much like 50% Red Bull. 50% Red Bull, 40% tea, 10% alcohol beverages, 0% water.
0% blurred. Like, that's just my inside.
0% water.
0% water. Nah.
0% seafood.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's actually a lot 0% that you're just 0%
wine.
Yeah.
0% wine, 0% seafood.
Cider.
Wow. I don't know if I could still be 2% from that time when I was 18. I could still be 2%. It was. I'm sure that it was like coming out my ear or something like that. No, it was terrible. That's not something that ever needs to be repeated ever again.
Cider.
Good Lord. What is it even? It's just alcoholic apples, isn't it?
And it's fizzy somehow.
Yeah.
It's somehow fizzy. That's what I don't understand at the end of the process. It's fizzy.
But should we talk about this week's food poll?
Yes, we shall.
Tea treason.
Yes, I when you sent me the bowl, I was like, do people actually do it any other way?
Oh, do they?
Apparently.
But then there was the smart asses.
Well,
because I said, what goes in first? And there was people going, oh, isn't it the tea bag? I was like, haven't we assumed the tea bag's already in? Like, seriously?
Do some people not?
Maybe then there was the, well, if it's tea.
What?
It's still the same thing.
But it's not, because if you put the milk in, it destroys the tea bag.
Well, not really. Depends how quick the hot water comes after.
I know, those people.
You don't just soak the tea bag in milk. That's just rank.
You do if you're making masala chai, but I guess that's a whole different thing.
That's another thing. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, did we get some comments this week? But do you want me to run through the scores? I mean, I don't think you're going to be surprised or disappointed.
No.
Given what you voted for.
I only had one vote.
You did, and there was multiple votes. So, bottom was I am a traditionalist and use a teapot. 3%.
I just don't have time for that.
No, but Brian from the UK, former colleague or teammate of mine from when we used to play football together.
No, that's
Mark. He's in Leeds. They do.
Down.
I don't know what they do in Leeds. I don't know what sport they play. But me and Brian used to play in the same 60s team.
Mm-hmm.
We were the Premier League champions as well. Just hasten to mention that. But he was the voter of the teapot. And then sent me a photo on Facebook, or actually put it in the chat, of his amazing tea collection. He has this weird thing. He uses a teapot.
Yes.
Puts two English breakfast tea bags in.
Yeah, that's normal. Okay.
Hold the line, caller.
And then an Earl Grey one?
And then two Earl Grey ones.
That's interesting.
There's something wrong with that. That's for someone that likes English breakfast tea drunk out of a flower vase.
How big is the teapot?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he actually sent me a picture of the teapot. He absolutely... Why am I looking on there? Because it would be in the comments if it's in the comments. But he's got, four tea bags.
Because it's normally like 2 to 3 for a teapot. The fourth one is really going for like bucket tea there.
He was kind of well down. It was funny because Kaz, regular contributor from the UK, sent this weak cup of tea as a meme and just said, imagine falling in love with someone and then finding out they make tea like this.
I can't say I'd care. I would just make the tea how they wanted to be made.
I think You're far too complimentary.
I think I'd be more annoyed if they put lemon in their tea, because then I'd have to like cut a lemon every time I was making them tea.
Yeah. So... there for the camera is Brian. So if you go to the YouTube...
Oh, that's a very small teapot.
Isn't it? Four teabags then.
It's very small.
It is very small. If you go to the YouTube version of this show, we will make sure that is seen somehow.
Does he have a partner, or does he just now double fist cups of tea? I know, I did it.
You did it again.
I did it.
You did it again.
Do you like it?
You got cream pied last week and now you've double fisted.
Yeah. Do you like it?
And then when we come on air, you go, don't get emotional about today's games and don't swear. And then here's you.
I'm not swearing.
Here's you again.
I'm just saying that there's two hands of teacups.
That's a lot to take. Double fisting's a lot to take.
But you didn't answer my question. Does he have a partner, or does he literally drink teacups?
He is married. He is married. So, yes. And there's his tea collection.
That's quite small.
For those of you that can't see it, it is a small collection. There's decaf tea. Why? That's like decaf. Just stop
it. Right. If you like black tea.
Nah.
I normally just drink robust tea.
Instant coffee.
That's not tea.
No, I know,
so
but I just spotted.
Two things that
I just spotted. There's an awful lot of decaf tea in this. And then he's just got a jar that says tea bags and one that says Earl Grey. That's it.
Wait, what's his tea brand of choice?
Well,
is he a teatly person?
I am yet to know whether the tea bags are the decaf tea bags or whether the decaf tea is Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, damn.
Damn.
But like the bougie brand of Marks and Spencer's or just stock?
I think it's the stock Marks and Spencer's. Okay. We're going to need to investigate this further. Brian has left more questions than answers here, okay. I hasten to point out. So we will go back to that. What else have we got? Corin, who's obviously a regular contributor, Him and Matt from Melbourne and Craig from New Zealand, they have been having a big run-in.
Yes.
Matt called Corin out, and when he puts two-minute noodle flavour sachets in first...
With tea?
I don't know why he changed it to noodles, but it changed to noodles.
Noodles?
To noodles, yeah. So I presume the way you make noodles, because I don't eat noodles, because I am 0% noodles, by the way.
Are you also non-noodle?
Oh, no, hell
no. I know
you're
non-spaghetti. I didn't know that's
just extended
noodles.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's like eating worms. It's like eating worms. Just stop it. Get rice. Just do it. Support economies. Just eat rice. Yeah, I'm 0% noodles. I would never order noodles. I'd rather have a meal with nothing.
I actually think we should just have a map of the globe and where Darren will eat. It has just highlighted the non-noodle countries.
India, Italy, Mexico.
Italy is spaghetti.
Pasta.
Pasta.
Ciabatta.
Pasta, ciabatta. Okay.
And I don't know spaghetti's order? Pasta, but like it's not real pasta.
Okay.
It's not. It just should never be allowed.
Fettuccine.
Jen from Australia. Water first, and the kettle has to have just boiled. Yes. I'm down with that. That's lukewarm tea, just get that out of here.
Have you ever, when you're tired, though, not boiled the kettle and then put the water in the tea and then you hold the cup and you're like, ah, oh, damn.
And then we had an interesting confession from Corin. I think he's on your wavelength.
What?
As a green tea drinker, I know the pot is better, but it's a lot of effort, so I'm teabagging daily.
Yeah.
Is that you?
Yeah. Sure.
Cool. Nice.
Do you want me to say those exact words?
No, I mean, unless you feel it's confession time and you need to let us know.
No, I think I'm just going to stick with one today.
Corin then had a... Corin's got some weird takes. Leaving the tea bag in while drinking the tea is the easiest way to spot a sex pest.
What? So I personally just find that because then the tea bag hits your nose at some point and it weirds me out.
Yeah, no one wants to get a tea bag in the face.
No.
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 Craig was quickly onto that and went, thank God I'm a coffee guy. And I said, and then the third and footlong commented, absolutely never leave the teabag in. Imagine teabagging yourself. This show is going downhill, isn't it?
I didn't do that once.
No, how do we know that? It's just the third and footlong. So
the third and footlong, I don't know.
Just the third and footlong, I don't know. Maybe it was our marketing person that commented on that.
Whose name I believe is under you.
And then we had a confession from Australia from Matt. I actually split open the tea bag, pour it into my mouth, and then pour boiling water in. I make a mouth tea. We have some weird people that listen to the show.
Yes. We're some weird people who
double fisters, self-teabaggers. Anyway, we haven't got through to the poll. People are probably listening to this and going, does anybody pay these pair to actually do this show?
We pay ourselves.
We pay ourselves. We're a voluntary service.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, nobody pays us to listen to this garbage. Anyway, so 3% of traditional teapot. Imagine where that went after just Brian's teapot, right?
Yeah.
Next on the list was 8%. That was milk first.
Mm.
That's me. I was one of those. Mm. I was one of those. I know you don't approve.
It just makes it taste weird.
Any friend in the UK now probably has just disowned me. 14%. Not another tea tosser poll, bring back more coffee. 14%. So next week, there's going to be a coffee poll. Just to round out this whole hot drinks palaver.
Yep.
I know what it's going to be as well.
Cool, I'm glad.
Would you like me to do a breaking news?
Sure, do the breaking news. What's it?
Have we got breaking news music? No?
No, we don't, because okay. I did not bring the aux cord today.
That's cool. So the breaking news, it is going to be, how do you like your coffee? Is it barista, instant, capsule, or Poncy Starbucks?
I was about to say Starbucks. I wouldn't say the word Poncy.
Got you, Poncy Starbucks.
I wouldn't say the word
Poncy. Because they're not a barista, really.
I think it's
they're
quite
not
appropriate,
a barista.
Though, because Seahawks are in the Super Bowl, and Starbucks is from Seattle.
It is indeed from Seattle.
So I feel like it's appropriate.
And for those that are quick to maths,
what?
60% put in the hot water first. 60.
Yep.
Probably one of our most sort of highest ranked polls. So you'll be pleased because you were one of those, yes?
Yes, I was one of those.
One of those people.
I wasn't one of those people today for those people's fans.
Yes.
Sad times.
We're going to talk about that heartbreak later.
Heartbreak for those fans.
Yes. So, after wasting 15 minutes of the show, just talking about teabagging and double fisting, we are going to get on to NFL news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. And the coaching carousel continues.
Yes, it does indeed.
Some very odd
choices. Can I ask you
choices?
If you saw the news? Did you see that Philip Rivers is a very high top candidate for the Bills head coaching job? What?
What?
This was my reaction. And it's like he's gone and interviewed in person. I was like, what?
So you've gone and sacked Sean McDermott. That's taken you to countless playoffs. Probably one of your most successful coaches. And you are going to put someone in place who everybody had forgotten about.
Yep.
Up until
except
his 2 children. Months ago.
Because he has little children.
Well, doesn't he have like 11?
Yes, and they also have grandkids. He's like 2 or 3 grandkids.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he's what, 44?
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, how? I mean, had he have not come back and played after 5 years out of the game, almost as long as Jarrett Stidham, no one would have even considered. It was only when he didn't play in the last game and he was like, I could probably coach this team.
Yeah.
And someone went, oh, maybe.
Well, the Bills did.
And what was that behaviour from Terry Pegula?
That was weird.
That was awful.
So that's actually, I think that's fully to the bottom of the pile. I wouldn't want the Bills head coaching job if that's what I'm in for.
Well, you got Josh Allen. That's why you would go.
But that's it. And then you have to deal with that? Nah.
But you could be the guy that takes Josh Allen to the promised land because Sean McDermott's not been able to do it.
But you won't be the guy. You'll be Josh Allen got the Super Bowl and you'll be completely forgotten.
But there is some weird selections. The Ravens. What do you make of that?
I think they just want to continue the Harbaugh thing, but they didn't want Harbaugh because he's very much a Harbaugh disciple. He started his career with Harbaugh in the Baltimore, then he went to Michigan, and then he went to the Chargers. Now he's back in Baltimore. So he's just coming back.
But he's not that huge head coaching hire, the Lamar Jackson. I mean, Lamar really needs someone that kind of can manage him.
I would assume they're going to hire an OC that can. Honestly, I just think they went, you know what, we're a defensive team, we'll hire defense. I don't quite understand. I don't feel like they got any better at head coach.
No, I think they've gone backwards at head coach.
It just feels like they went nowhere. They definitely needed a new DC, so I guess now they've got a good, like the Chargers defense was good this year, so you'd say they've got a good DC now, but in terms of the head coach as a defensive coordinator.
I'm trying to look through. I can't even remember his name. What's his name?
Jesse Minter.
That's him, Jesse Minter.
Yep.
Where do you want to go next?
I think we need to go to Steelers if we're going into
the Steelers.
Mike McCarthy. I was like, oh, okay, that's an interesting hire. I don't quite get it, but sure.
Is this the employ someone that's never done something or not done something for 10 years league all of a sudden?
I just think they want to keep winning, so they've employed a coach who has won. Like, he won with the Cowboys. He always wins. He's very similar to Tomlin in that aspect, and that it's just he will keep winning, and if that's what you want, there's no like flash in the pan sort of situation going on there. He's very solid, and that's about it. It also is kind of nice for him because he's from Pittsburgh. He's always shown affinity for the city, so I think that's nice from his standpoint. I think, oh, it's great. You come in, there's a pretty good roster in place. Why wouldn't you?
But I kind of looked at Tomlin, who was 11-10 in the playoffs, I think, and McCarthy's 11-11.
Yeah, they're very similar. They're the exact same.
It's almost like they've just gone out and gone, oh, let's just kind of get an
older
version of what we already had. That'd be amazing.
I think both of those teams are terrified that they'd end up with no head coaching candidates, that they go, oh, no. Okay, we'll just hire these people. Because there's Clint Kubiak with the Seahawks is a good option. Would have been interesting to see in either of those places. I think he was more inclined to go to Lamar Jackson because he's a quarterback in place versus the Steelers, who have shown they haven't been able to get a quarterback for the past 4 years. So that's kind of interesting. But, yeah, so Clint Kubiak with the Seahawks, probably one of the better remaining candidates that's not gone anywhere. If you were him, would you go to the Browns, the Raiders, the Cardinals, or the Bills? Because those are remaining spots.
The Browns, the Raiders,
the Cardinals. Or the Bills.
Well, there's a rumour that Vance Joseph's going to the Cardinals.
I know. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, Vance Joseph's leaving Denver.
Yeah.
And then when he fails as head coach again, he'll be back in Denver in 4 years' time.
I actually like McDermott for the Cardinals.
Okay.
I think that would be interesting.
Oh, he's not very... Oh, they need a bit of offense there, though, don't they?
Yeah, but I think he could get an OC in. I don't think that's an issue. He could easily... If Joe Brady doesn't end up with the Bills' job, he could easily get Joe Brady back down
there. Yeah, true. Yeah.
I think the Cardinals would be a nice change for Sean McDermott. And all of the other ones are just flaming in terms
Nobody
of
Nobody wants to go anywhere near the Browns.
God, so many people have pulled out. It looks like McDaniels potentially might go to the Raiders because he pulled out of the Browns interview to go for a second interview at the Raiders.
Yes.
So Mike McDaniel from the Miami Dolphins.
I thought he was going to end up in
Chargers. Chargers. Oh, I see. So he signed that contract, but it has the terms that if he gets a head coaching
he can move on.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great job for him.
I think it'd be super interesting.
I think it'd be a great job for him.
He'd be the second most interesting head coach in Raiders history.
No, I think the Chargers job is the best for him. I don't think he should go back head coaching, and absolutely not the Raiders.
I know, the Raiders, he's like the second or third most interesting coach, because they've had a very wild history of head coaches.
They are dysfunctional.
That's why I think the only remaining option that's the least dysfunctional, and it does have ownership issues in the Cardinals, is in terms of they don't pay well, it's hard to get coordinators there, there's a lot of other situations with the Cardinals, but oh my God, at least their ownership structure is a bit better than whatever is going on with the other three. Because the Bills, I think everyone thought was fine until the conference.
Do you reckon that John Harbaugh, when he found out Sean McDermott was getting fired, went, oh God, I committed too early?
I think he did until he saw that conference.
Yeah, that press conference was a killer, right?
That press conference was terrible. Because that press conference, because John Harbaugh's someone who wants to control the whole situation. That's why he wants to report directly
into ownership. Well, he won't even report to the... That's right, yeah.
So, if you already know that the GM of the Bills obviously now has all of the power and the ownership here, do you actually, as a head coach, want to go there? No. It's not that popular.
Another coordinator going to the Dolphins, Jeff Hafley?
Yes. It's Green Bay South now. You've got Green Bay GM, Green Bay, like, they're trying to replicate Green Bay down there, and I think it'll be interesting because I think he'll give the team an identity, and the Dolphins haven't had an identity, and I quite like that for that team, so that will be interesting. But they have a lot to do with the roster. Actually, similar to the Bills, have a lot to do with the roster, if they actually even do anything. Because it looks like the Bills are just going to stay and put with what they have on roster, which is not going to work for them long term.
A very questionable team, making, in my view, another very questionable decision, from a cultural point of view, because I've heard a lot about this guy, the Chiefs taking back Eric Bieniemy.
Yep. Everyone seems very happy.
They do.
Everyone seems
but,
super happy.
He's got questionable character, but seems to work in that environment.
Yeah, if it works and it seems to work well for them, do it.
Yeah, Ravens head coach, Minter, Dallas taking Christian Parker as the OC.
No, DC.
DC, sorry.
Yeah, I think that's a good hire. I think hopefully he'll turn the secondary around. I also thought it was interesting, Diggs, Trayvon Diggs, released from the Packers.
Yes. Mm. They decided that we'll use him for the playoffs and no long term. Yes, see you out of here. What do you reckon the best job is left?
Cardinals, because it's less
gotta
problematic.
Gotta be, isn't it? Yeah.
You don't get paid as well, but it's less problematic.
Well, until that press conference, I'd have said the Bills.
Yes, but that press conference, absolute turn off.
Yeah.
No. You know, if they've already exposed what is going to happen to you in a way, I don't think you want to go there.
No.
What I think
but
is
someone will, because of Josh Allen. Someone will.
When his wife was in charge, I think that Bills organization ran a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a lot better. It's unfortunate. And sad what happened, but yeah.
Is there anything else from your side on the hirings and firings?
Bucks hire Zach Robinson as new OC.
Yes.
Mayfield put in a good word for him.
Isn't that 5 in 5 years?
Yes.
And 4 in 4 years for Mayfield?
Yeah. He's only ever had the same OC for 2 years once. He changes OC every year. Must be a lot.
Is that him?
No. They get hired out, or with the Browns, I feel like it was more a Browns thing than the Mayfield thing. Stefanski and Mayfield having beef.
Yes.
A lot of beef. I'm very excited now to see the Bucks versus Falcons game this
year. Yeah, that's going to happen,
isn't
it?
A game I don't care about, but now I'm like, ooh, this is exciting.
That's going to be on.
I love that. Brian Flores back as DC for the Vikings. Obviously, if he gets hired as a head coach, he'll be able to
be able to move on, yeah.
But I think that's interesting because I think he's probably looked at the positions remaining and goes, you know what, no. I think I'll wait till next year.
Yeah, it's a weird year for coaches and availability of people, isn't it? Oh, Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Robert Saleh.
They wanted a Mike Vrabel type. Quote unquote from the owner, Amy. They want a Mike Vrabel type. Sorry, did you not have
Did Mike you not have the Mike Vrabel? Like, did you not have the Mike Vrabel?
Look, I like that Saleh gets a second opportunity, so he was a bit rough in the Jets, but really the Titans is about the same as the Jets. Going, walking into the exact same situation. At least now, though, you have a quarterback, so I guess
you
he's
do,
not that.
But is he any good? I don't know.
I don't think he's going to be any good.
No,
now.
I don't think he's good anyway.
I think he had the chance to be good, but I think he went to the wrong team. Yeah, Kevin Stefanski with the Falcons as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, that's a team I like talent.
I like that hire. But yeah.
I heard that one of the running backs could be out of the Falcons.
Bijan Robinson or
no,
the other one?
The other one.
Tyler Allgeier.
The Allgeier, yeah.
Probably.
That's the one. Yeah.
I think is he in his final year as contract?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Allgeier could
Ayuk
be gone.
Is also gone from the 49ers.
Yes.
To no one's surprise.
And, who's it? Breece Hall. Gotta go, surely.
Yeah. Lions hire Drew Petsy as their new OC.
Yes.
From the Cardinals.
Hopefully they'll stop going for it on fourth down every single time.
I'm actually quite excited for that hire because Drew Petsing didn't have a running back for pretty much half the season. He had no running game, so I'm excited because now he's got a running game to see what he does off the back of that. Also, he was so good with the Cardinals tight end, Trey McBride.
Yeah.
And now he's got Sam LaPorta. And I'm super excited to see that. I just think it'll be really fun. I really hope he brings back the Lions offense because they like when they're one of the more exciting offenses to watch.
Yeah.
Really, when they're going.
Yeah, they had a rough year this year.
Yeah, they did. Bucks hire Danny Smith, the long-term Steelers special team
yes.
coach, which is good because they were looking for a special teamer. I'm surprised he didn't hold out for the Rams job, but down with Todd Bowles in the Bucks.
And isn't Arthur Smith moving somewhere?
Arthur Smith is going. It's in my college news, but he's off
to Ohio State.
Yeah, as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Which I think might be a good move for him.
Yeah, getting out of the NFL.
I don't think he's an NFL coach. I think he's more a college coach. Commanders hire David Bloth as the OC as well.
Plenty of moves. This is probably one of the biggest moves for a long time. College news?
My college news was the...
Those, yeah. I got three
Arch
pieces
Manning
of college
has
news.
Foot surgery?
Oh.
Yep.
Maybe
successful
him.
Foot surgery?
Maybe him and Bo Nix went, oh, bro, do you want to go halves, 2-for-1?
Yep.
We'll do some ankle surgery together.
And then the college football playoffs expansion, do you have that one as well?
I did have that one, and it's staying at 12.
But it might move to 16
might
or 24.
Move to 16, yeah.
Game model here.
24 would be too many.
What was your third piece in news?
I got two other pieces that we haven't talked about yet.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, number one offensive tackle in college football, Jordan Seaton, has committed to LSU, $4 million per year. Means the LSU roster is $40 million next year. Lane Kiffin is going hard. Hard and early.
He better win.
He's got to win.
You got to win if you're doing that. If you're convincing them to put that amount of money when they're already paying a lot to an ex-head
coach. Well, he's $90
million.
Or something like that.
No, because they're also paying the old guy, aren't they?
That's right, they're playing Brian Kelly as well, $54 million.
We're looking at almost like $150 million.
Oh, if you're talking about Kiffin, Kelly... And the roster, you're at 200.
Damn.
Lots of money in Louisiana.
They better win.
And the confirmation of the worst-kept secret ever, not broken on this program previously, Fernando Mendoza declares for the draft. Where do you think he goes?
Well, he's been very complimentary about the Raiders. The Raiders, I think, are going to pick him, and I think he has no choice.
He could do an Eli or an Elway.
I don't think he's that type of person.
No, I don't think he is. He's a very...
I have another bit of NFL news.
Oh.
Jets, Aaron Glenn cleaned house most of his coaching stuff.
And you know what that means?
He's on a very short leash and it's probably gone 5 weeks.
Correct. Yep. Absolutely. If you clean everyone else and you still don't win.
Yep.
Only one person left, Aaron Glenn.
Because he's cleaned out a lot of them. And then Giants hired a DC. It wasn't Rex Ryan. Which there was a bit of news for a few hours there that it could be Rex Ryan, which I would have been very excited about because that would have been fun to have him back on the NFL sideline.
Yeah, but that would have been a problem for you.
Why?
Because he has a toe fetish.
I don't know how you know this and I really don't want to know.
You don't want to know, but he has a foot fetish.
That's weird.
I know. So maybe he started eating ice creams and then all of a sudden, but it's a known fact.
That's very strange.
Now your known fact.
It would also have been fun full circle because John Harbaugh's first DC was Rex Ryan, actually. And the Ravens, so that would have been fun.
Should we move on?
I have one more bit.
Oh, go on.
I'm sorry.
You just keep bringing the nuggets.
Do you think the Ravens in 2023 should have fired John Harbaugh and hired Mike McDonald, which was what every fan at that point wanted for them?
Hindsight's a tremendous thing, right?
Hindsight's a tremendous thing, but lots of people back then and lots of analysts thought they should do it.
Do you think tonight Sean Payton's going 4-1?
No.
Hindsight. To quote,
it's 2020, yeah.
Tomlin. If my auntie had different bits, she'd be my uncle. It's just that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
That what-if stuff, so... As said, as the start of the show, as we exclusively broke last week, it was the College Football National Championship. What a game.
What a game.
What a game. The U, we can now officially do, the downward U.
I thought 21. There, though.
Oh, they were... That kind of third, fourth quarter thing, the game was a kind of like... real slow starter, 3-0 with 3 minutes of the first quarter to go, 10-0 at half time, and then Miami missed that field goal. That changes the end of the game if they get that field goal.
Yep.
Put you 3 behind and you're trying to go for a field goal to take your chance in overtime. You're not trying to win the game.
Big call by Signetti though on that fourth down. That's really that decided.
That's
the game.
Ballsy, yeah.
But
Mendoza was like pinball.
Yeah.
He was getting just crushed.
But got in.
Do you think Miami came out dirty? Because they split like Mendoza's face open in the first couple of plays. Went in with a helmet underneath and split his lip open. I think Miami kind of went, we could push this guy around and bully him and maybe we have to take a couple of penalties. Because Mendoza stays in that game, they win. He's the best quarterback, right?
Yes, he's better between the two, definitely.
Yeah.
No, I think because it's very hard to actually play dirty. Like, it comes across dirty, but to actively target someone is, like, it's a fast game. It's hard to do. Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting because everyone's talking about the Miami D.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Miami, and until that drive where they missed that field goal, they'd had 26 yards of total offense. That was it.
Yeah.
But then second half, Malachi Tony, Mark Fletcher Jr.,
They just ripped. If they didn't step up, it would have been way worse than it was.
Are either of those in the draft next year, Jim?
No, Mark Fletcher has already went back. He's already gone back. And Tony as well has gone back.
Miami were really struggling on third down. They were 0-8 towards the end of the third quarter before converting one. And then they couldn't stop converting them.
Mm. It wasn't exactly a bad game from the Hoosiers' offense, though. It just was boring. If that makes sense, like, it's just efficient and it got the job done and they won the game, which you'll take, but
we've talked about this for weeks, right? That they are just the most efficient team. They don't make mistakes.
No, they don't make mistakes.
Mendoza doesn't throw incompletions, doesn't throw interceptions. They just clean ball.
Which won them the game.
Yeah.
Very calculated, like their coach.
I mean, Indiana went through 4th and 5 twice.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter, and that led to the run.
Carson Beck was fine. I think it's a shame how it ended for him, the interception. Like, that's just a sad way to end, especially because that's his last pass in college. He's already in the draft this coming year, isn't he?
It doesn't go high, though, do you think?
No, it's like 5th or 6th round.
Do you reckon he goes that low?
It depends on how many other...
Because with Dante Moore pulling out, that there's not a lot. So who's this year's Jackson Dart?
This year's Jackson Dart would be Tyler Simpson, wouldn't it?
Hmm. From Alabama.
Yeah.
There's a few teams that are still looking for quarterbacks as well, right?
Yeah. So that's what my question about the Steelers was. Mike McCarthy's going to have to find a quarterback, right? Who?
Do you reckon he brings Rodgers back?
I don't think so, because I don't think there's a great love between them. Like, I don't think it's a whole...
But they've won together before, right?
They've won together, but what are you doing then if you're the Steelers? I think if you're a Steelers fan, that'd just be incredibly frustrating. If you bring Rodgers and McCarthy, you kind of go, what are we doing here? Which is, I think, our question about them. What are you doing there?
Partying like it's like 1998 or something is what they're doing. Yeah. So, yeah. There's college football. Congratulations. Indiana Hoosiers, which is historically a college basketball. They are the second worst losing record in college football history up until this point.
And now they're undefeated.
The first team to go 16-0.
With a beautiful blocked punt touchdown that got them the game.
Yep. You and your D.
That was not Dina, special teams, but special teams matters.
Special teams matters.
Still for a defense, but special teams matters, which we can actually now segue perfectly into the Rams game. Special teams matters.
Special team does matters. So, just opening up the NFL championships game, the first time since 2008 that none of the top seven preseason odds were playing.
Were the Rams not top seven?
No.
Random.
Apparently not. And this
really
was the weekend where Mike versus Sean in the AFC. Mm-hmm. And Mike versus Sean in the NFC.
I did like that.
I did like that. That's Mike. Nice. Mike. Mike versus Sean.
It would have been... It's Mike versus Mike now.
And now it's
Super.
Mike versus Mike. Oh, Mike check, 1-2.
Yeah.
Literally Mike first
check,
seed and second
Mike
seed.
And then Mike linebacker? 52 is Mike. 52 is Mike. Mike.
It's Mike check, 1-2. Yeah. First
How
seed
old are they?
And the second seed.
It'd be great. How old are they? They say similar age, Vrabel and...
Oh, I'd have Vrabel as older than...
I don't know.
Yeah, I would. We'll check that out. Let's ask our researchers.
Our researchers, meaning me.
Me and you. Me and you. Yeah, our researchers. So which game do you want to open? Do you want to go in timeline order?
I reckon we start with the Rams because we talked about special teams and... Special teams. Muff punt. Led to a touchdown. And really, that was the difference in the game. Rams made two mistakes.
That's right.
And you can't make those mistakes.
Not in those games.
No.
But, big question.
Mm-hmm.
Where was that Seattle defense everyone was going on about? It went there.
Well, I said, I was never going that particularly on about the Seahawks defense. I did like them as a defense, but my favorite defense exited the playoffs, courtesy of the New England Patriots.
I think that game kind of showed every reason why Matt Stafford should be the MVP.
Yes, no, it was a spectacular game by him. And spectacular play calls by Sean McVay. Just slightly better with the Seahawks because they didn't make mistakes.
Well, everyone has been waiting for Sam Darnold to become Sam Darnold, and he had the game today.
I'm now more nervous for him in the Super Bowl because you go, oh no, is this now the game?
Is this the game where it happens? Or, because the interesting thing with Sam Darnold, just, you know, segueing a little bit, that QB... draft class.
He's the first one in the Super Bowl.
He's the first one in the Super Bowl, which had Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and he's the first one to get there.
Yes.
So, amazing. I mean...
What a career story, though.
I know, it's amazing where he went to the Jets, disaster. Went to the Panthers, disaster.
Recuperated with the 49ers, went to the Vikings. Vikings didn't want him, outcast now. Seattle.
And then gets to the Super Bowl.
What a trade, though, for Shahid.
I know.
He's been
what a
great.
Player. What a throw that first throw was.
Oh, beautiful. He's great on offense, great on special teams. He's been such a good trade for the Seahawks. It's sad, though, Zach Charbonnet got in last game with a torn ACL, so they don't have their 1-2 punch, but I do think Helani did actually step up to be that, like, second little spark plug for the Seahawks running backs.
They did struggle with a run a bit today, though.
They did struggle a bit, but...
They definitely struggled without Charbonnet, and that's the one thing that New England could probably lay their hand on. Interesting, though, that the Seahawks had never lost a playoff game to a team not called the Rams at Lumen Field. It was the first time they actually beat the Rams there as well. So they were 0-2 against the Rams at Lumen Field in the playoffs. Obviously, this was the third meeting. They'd split the first two. But those quarterback performances today. I mean, I wasn't expecting the Rams D to be amazing.
No,
so I'm not
they
surprised
been amazing.
That the Seahawks put up 31.
Look, the Rams D did get to Sam Darnold three times, though. And historically, if you get to Darnold and you get him rattled, he often would make a mistake. But he didn't today.
What do you think was the biggest moment in the game? Do you think it was that muff punt? The Seattle struck with 20 seconds to go to actually go in up on halftime.
I think what could have been the biggest moment, and it wasn't because the Seahawks responded better than I thought they were going to after you saw the sideline situation, was when there was the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on Bolin, and you saw the Seahawks sideline were very mad at him.
Yeah.
Very mad at what he'd done, because then it just turned into an instant Rams touchdown. It was kind of like we were winning and now they've got a spark.
Yeah.
But they managed to get back in the game as a team, so I think that does bode well going into the Super Bowl. But I would say the biggest one was the Seahawks' fourth down stop on the Rams.
Yeah.
That was the biggest moment, because that kind of ended the Rams.
When they went 24-13 up, that route that Bobo ran. Just you turned know. The sea. Just That's turned good. Him inside out.
One of the best names, Bobo.
Yeah, Bobo.
Bobo.
But when it, you know, whenever the Rams hit back, Seattle hit, and then you know, it just it was almost like that 1-2 punch yeah. that was constantly going on. We had 58 points right up until the last 2 minutes of the third quarter, way over the yeah. Over under at 47.5, and then
no points.
Just no points.
Yep.
Zero. Nil point.
Emin Wari, I think, would have been Defensive Rookie of the Year if he had had one of these performances earlier in the year. He has been really solid all year. He had multiple pass breakups today, 6 tackles. It was great. He played really well at safety. And it's astounding when you watch him because you don't actually realise he's a rookie with how well he's
That's
playing.
That's right, yeah. So that gets us through there. You got anything more to add?
JSN.
Oh,
beautiful.
Stunning game, right?
That drive in this last couple of minutes of this second quarter, it was just JSN, and he had difficult catch after difficult catch, and he was just, he looked so, like,
what did he have today?
153 yards. Yep, one touchdown and 10 receptions. Yeah, and then Kupp showed up and did those catches where he was meant to, which is what they paid him
That's
for.
That's what they pay him for.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's going to go to a Super Bowl.
Again. Yeah.
You know, I mean, that was the ultimate revenge, right?
Yeah.
Against the Rams.
I did kind of, the Rams would have been also fun in the Super Bowl. And just, I do feel for, like, Davante Adams. Because it feels like this was one of his last chances to get to the Super Bowl, and it would have been cool to get that player in the Super Bowl.
I saw something about, within a Super Bowl appearance before the games happened, who would this most define? And Davante Adams was number four.
Yeah. It would have been so big if he got
four.
There. Yeah.
Sam Darnold was three.
Yeah.
Sean Payton, funnily enough, was number one. But
well, because it's been a while since he's been to a Super Bowl, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a while.
And he was going to be doing it with a backup quarterback.
Yep.
Which leads us nicely into
the Broncos versus the Patriots. Can I say, do you know what I think the biggest factor in this game was? The Patriots wearing white, because I could barely see them in the fourth quarter, that I can't imagine being on the field trying to see them. Because I was like, where is that? Is that a player there? Because they just looked like little phantoms running out all over the field. Like, I could barely see them. The weather played such a factor in the second half. And it was really funny when they showed the split between the start of the first quarter and the start of the fourth quarter, where it was just pretty much white and, like, what felt like a good foot of snow on the field. It made such a difference.
Yeah, I mean,
and the Broncos' run game also, it really came back to them.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of came back and haunted them a little bit. Not that, you know, Drake May, obviously, significant contributor with his legs.
Oh, yeah, that was how he, that's like,
nothing through the air.
Nothing through the air, no.
I mean, I think it's interesting. Do you think that Stidham actually outplayed May through the air?
Yes, until it got to the weather when I don't think any quarterback could. I don't think you could put many quarterbacks out there who could throw in that weather.
Yeah.
You couldn't even kick in that weather.
I think what also came back to haunt the Broncos was injured wide receivers.
Yeah.
Obviously, J.K. Dobbins not making it when they thought he was potentially going to make it.
And wide receiver drops.
Drops again.
Broncos wide receivers were dropping passes all year, and Cortland Sutton should have caught that pass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want my honest opinion, Bo Nix plays this game. I think the Broncos blow out the Patriots.
Because Bo Nix can run better.
Yeah. And doesn't get sacked.
Yeah.
So Stidham got sacked 3 times today.
Mm-hmm.
It took 5 games this season for Bo Nix to get sacked 3 times. Interestingly, Drake May got sacked 5. Didn't turn the ball over.
No.
But 86 yards through the air. I mean, if you are the Patriots, I mean, I know they keep winning, but Drake May, now he's up against decent defences. Doesn't look like the Drake May that everyone's been talking about all season.
It's just very lucky they've got 2 good running backs to lean back on.
Yeah.
Because the 2 good running backs in the Pats, you can't really argue they're good.
I mean, if you want my opinion, Denver blew that game. They should have won that game.
The Pats O-line, I'm sure Seattle's defense are going, this will be fun.
Oh.
Like, all of them. It's DeMarcus Lawrence, Deanna Jones, they'll be like, this will be great.
It's just like a buffet. It's just, rock up and help yourself. I mean, they are going to just torment. If Drake May can only go 86, and okay, let's talk about the conditions. I understand.
The conditions would definitely affect you.
But they are. But he was doing nothing before.
No.
the conditions changed.
I thought what was interesting to me is it's a home game for the Broncos, but it felt like the Patriots team responded a lot better to the weather conditions on all facets of the ball than the Broncos did, which I thought was interesting because that's your stadium. You should be able to play in your stadium's conditions, and it felt like they couldn't.
Sean Payton was sort of saying all week, watch. Just watch. Watch what? There was a very conservative strategy.
Yep.
And
they felt they didn't... Because Patriots responded at halftime, they actually made some adjustments. It felt like the Broncos just kind of kept going with what they were doing. It felt like they didn't overly adjust as much as the Patriots did.
I think two moments really define this game.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth and one.
Yes.
You know my view on fourth down.
Yes, I know.
You know my view on fourth down, especially if you're winning a game. Yeah. And in a game where everybody knew the conditions were going to change.
Yes.
I understand what Sean Payton was doing. Broncos had momentum. You get 14-0 up in a game where the weather's going to change. The Patriots didn't even get to 10. They got to 10.
Yeah.
They didn't even get to 14. No. So you kind of look at that and you go, yeah, I get what Sean Payton was doing. He was trying to put the game away early. Because they go 14-0 up, the Patriots are kind of in panic mode. Yep. Not panic mode, but they are lying.
Oh, no, they would have
They're in real trouble at that point, especially when Drake May could only put up 86 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what Sean Payton was doing. But, man, take the points.
Yeah.
Take the points because you're at least... And then both kickers both missed two field goals.
Yeah.
Will Lutz, I mean, come on, man. That's your home field.
That's what I mean.
Come on, man.
The Broncos did not respond well with the conditions. That was their home field.
One was tipped, and that would have gone through had it not been tipped. So, and that was with only 5 minutes to go. And again, the Patriots still could barely do anything.
The play that did turn up, after letting Mims go past him, Gonzalez did actually come back with a good game by him. He's a great cornerback. One sack, one interception.
Well, that interception, you knew what was going on there.
Yes.
He was just trying to replay the first one that Mims caught, took it down.
Yeah, I can't.
But he underthrew it.
Yeah, by a lot.
And I know maybe you underthrow it, you draw a pass interference, you drive the team.
It was underthrown.
It was underthrown. Yeah, it was way underthrown.
It was good, though, for the Patriots to have Hollins back. I think that's made a bit of a difference to their receiving core because now they've got that good, strong-handed positioning catcher. And he did try. He had the most leading receiver for the Patriots today.
I mean, the one thing that Jarrett Stidham needed to do today was, don't let me be the reason to lose the game. Don't let me be the reason. And that backward, throw it out. Because at that point, the Patriots are getting nothing.
Yep.
They are just going, forget the fourth down, it's 7-0, there's 2 minutes to go. Throw it out of bounds.
That's why he's a backup, though.
I know, and he's, like, but he cost himself $10 million today.
I know, but that's why he's a backup. It sucks, because the Broncos could have gone to the Super Bowl.
Should have.
That's what happens when you have a backup quarterback in. There's a reason some people are backups and some people are starters, and he's a backup.
All I'm saying, I know we're not going to go massively into it tonight.
Yeah.
But the Patriots better not turn up like that in the Super Bowl.
Oh, no.
They better not turn up like that because they are going to... They will be what the 49ers were against the Seahawks 2 weeks ago.
Which was embarrassing.
Yeah, and I think that's what could happen to them if they turn up like that.
I do think the Super Bowl will be a fun matchup, though.
I mean, 181 yards for the Broncos at home in a game where you're meant to be going to the Super Bowl. I just... Sean Payton is supposed to be an offensive genius. It's like...
He needs a running back.
What is that?
Broncos need to get a running back in the offseason. You cannot show up like they have with that running back field.
What are they going to be picking, 29?
Yeah.
29, something like that. 29 or 30?
29, isn't it?
It's going to be one or two. Or 30 because of the
record. Depends on where the ranking is for the Rams, yeah.
If you're not picking a running back at that, or a high-quality wide receiver, because drops has been
a problem
all year.
Yeah.
The running game in drops has been their downfalls all year. Unusual. 10 yards of penalties all game. 10 yards. Yeah.
Well, I don't think the refs could see the place.
No, they couldn't really know what was going on anyway, right?
It was genuinely so shockingly bad.
Third down, both of them were terrible. Third down conversion. So, yeah, they only had 23 first downs between them, which was kind of the problem for everybody, right?
I am excited for the Super Bowl matchup and that they're both very unproven quarterbacks going into it. That's always fun because you're not really sure who has the advantage there. and in both great defenses, which, you know, make me happy to see that. So I'm very excited to see. And then the running games are about equal to the Patriots' running game is a bit better. If you're just stacking them up, and then both special teams units for both of these teams separately have the, I think you actually have a great chance that there's going to be both teams have either a punt or kickoff return each in the Super Bowl, which would be so fun and so electric to see, because both teams have great returners in Shahid and Jones. I think it'd be fun.
I mean, Patriots fans tonight are going off light. They've found the new Tom Brady. Like, get out of here, 86 yards, get out of here. And they beat, like, the backup quarterback who hadn't thrown a ball for 749 days.
Can he also be Tom Brady if he was picked in the first round?
No, and also Tom Brady didn't run the ball. He's already run more yards in playoffs. Yeah. In three games than Tom Brady, I think, ever ran in playoffs.
He looks a lot better running the ball than Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, but Tom Brady was just like...
Tom Brady looked like a giraffe. It was so funny. Oh, Matt Stafford running the ball today. That was astounding. He was like, oh, no, don't do it.
Stop it.
Stop it. Don't run. Don't do it.
Turf monster's going
to
get you.
And when he chucked it to Nakua and they did that close-up of his eyes, you could see him be like, I don't want to. I loved it. It was so funny. It was great.
I mean, Drake May's won three on the trot playoff games from a standing start.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talked the other day and they were like, Tom Brady won 10. 10. Which is insane.
Tom Brady, a different mindset, man.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So that was the Super Bowl is set. It is the New England Patriots versus the Seattle Seahawks in Santa Clara on February the 9th, New Zealand time. No.
Yes.
Yes, New Zealand time.
At 12 p.m.
So.
With Bad Bunny as the halftime show.
Yeah, Bad Bunny, yeah. No, I'm not kind of on the Bad Bunny vibe. Are you on the Bad Bunny vibe?
I don't mind it.
Are you a collector of, do you have a collection of their songs on your Spotify channel?
I don't think so, no.
No?
Sorry.
No.
I can't name a song by him, I'm sorry.
No, me neither. No,
I just can't. I was just...
I know it's a pretty controversial choice, right? But I'm kind of like, I probably won't watch it. I don't know. Depends how good or bad the game is.
Yeah.
We'll get into it next week, like, in a lot of detail,
Super Bowl.
Right? Gut feel now.
Gut feel right now is Seahawks.
I think the Seahawks are going to open as 6-point favourites.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be 1 or 1.5. I think the Seahawks, probably because of Drake May's performance so far, probably because the Seahawks have been putting up points on people and the Patriots really haven't.
No, they haven't.
Their kind of offence has kind of stalled a little bit in the playoffs.
If regular season Drake May turns up, slightly different. If postseason Drake May turns up.
Well, as I say, I think it's going to be... 41-6 or something if postseason Drake May turns up.
And my hot take is that there's going to be a punt return or kick return touchdown won by each team.
Really?
I really think
you're on the special teams thing now, are you?
I'm on the special teams thing.
Wow.
It played a really big deal in these two games today.
Yeah.
So, let's go special teams. Defense is in my heart. So.
I quite rate the Seattle special teams.
And I rate the Patriots one as well. Both of them are good. I'm excited. Shall we end with, I think it will be fun, who do you think is going to take the Browns, the Raiders, the Cardinals and the Bills head coaching spots by next week?
Well, I think the Cardinals, the hot money's on Vance Joseph.
Yep.
Now, Vance Joseph has not had a great head coaching.
No, he's not.
I mean, the defense of the Broncos has been hot.
Yep.
I mean, if you include the playoffs, over 70 sacks in a year, biggest sack differential of all time. Great defensive coach, apart from when he conceded 70 to Miami. But I don't know. If you fail a third time, do you get the message that you're not great?
Maybe. So you're going Vance Joseph to the Cardinals?
I think Vance Joseph to the Cardinals.
Okay. I will say who I think to the Browns then.
Go on, you go Browns.
I think it's going to be Anthony Weaver. I think he's going to stay in the AFC North. He's been a player in the AFC North. He's coached in the AFC North. I think the Browns are probably rating quite highly. I think he also has a shot at maybe helping the Browns because he has a very strong voice, very strong vision, and I think that would be a good place for him.
The problem is nobody wants it. But I know. Is it the Shadur problem? Is it they've got no quarterback, or is it the quarterback?
There's two quarterbacks that are a problem there. There's Watson and Shadow.
Well, Watson's the bigger problem, right?
Both are problems.
Watson's the bigger problem.
I just think he's more inclined to go there because the Browns' defense is astounding. It's got great talent on it. He's a defensive coordinator from the Dolphins. I think he would do really well there. So, yeah, I just think they'd be a good fit.
It is an astounding defense, but no one's talking about it in the top five. They always talk about Houston, Seattle, Denver.
I would put it in the top
five. They don't really. I know it's our team for the season.
I would put it in top eight. I'd have the Jags over them, actually.
They've got so many things they've got to fix, though.
The Jags defensive coordinator is a hot hire at the moment as well.
Yeah.
Campanelli. I think he could go to the Cardinals, personally.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I think that's a wild one that the Cardinals might be able to swing. And I think he's got that youthful energy that I think that would help the Cardinals franchise.
The reason that Weaver's going to the Browns is they can't attract someone great, right? I mean, Stefanski.
I think Weaver could be a good head coach.
But who's to blame for the offense problem
in
Cleveland?
The GM. I'm sorry, he has not had a good track
Didn't
record of getting. Yes, he did. He's not had a good Andrew Berry.
Yeah,
he's not
Andrew
had a
Berry,
good
him, yeah.
track record of getting any offensive talent on that side of the ball. Defense, he's very good at. Oh my God, they're so good at drafting defensive players. They've got some great stars for the last 5 years, but what on the offense is going on? Not sure. So I think Anthony Weaver could be exciting there. I'd quite like to see it. Who do you have for the Raiders? That one's harder.
Again, it's another one, though, that no one probably wants to go to.
It would be a Tom Brady.
It's a Tom Brady pick.
Mm-hmm.
Good God. I mean, the problem is, again, no quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they'll get Mendoza. And everyone was going, Kirk Cignetti should go.
Oh, God, no.
I'll give my Kirk Cignetti look.
I don't think he'll do that.
No, I don't think he will. I think he's in. I think he's in Indiana for the next 3 to 5 years, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McDaniel? Mike McDaniel,
I think.
He's
linked at the moment.
Interesting that the Chargers would let him leave them and go to a division rival.
He had it in his contract, so.
I know. Be interesting. I mean, that's a tough division to want to go in and head coach as well, right? You're up against Andy Reid, multiple Super Bowl winner, Sean Payton, Super Bowl winner, Jim Harbaugh, national championship winner, Patrick Mahomes, Bo Nix, Justin Herbert.
Terrible. Bills?
Who have you got?
The Bills? I think it's going to be a wild hire because everyone they're interviewing is weird. I think it's going to be completely ownership overrules everyone and they're going to go, I like this person, so this is who I'm hiring. So trying to get in Terry Pegula's head, which seems like a wild space to be in. Just looking down list, Joe Brady's there at the moment. I don't think
Joe Brady's getting it.
No, I don't think they will. Clint Kubiak's the hot name at the moment.
Yeah.
Could potentially. Rams, Thomas Brown is another one who's the passing game coordinator. Rams OC, Mike LaFleur. Cliff Kingsbury. Could they go completely wild?
Cliff Kingsbury, no.
And do Josh McCown, who's always thrown around? Or will Brian Daboll come
back? Daboll's the name, because him and Josh Allen had a
Same with Joe Brady, though.
Daboll was rubbish.
Yes,
at the Giants. Rubbish.
Do you know how I find it interesting he's not getting any talk, and I thought might have, but maybe it'll be next year's cycle. Calvin Shepard with the Lions, Lions DC, he did a really good job there. Or, do you want to know who I think Pegula will just go completely wild on? John Gruden. Oh, my God.
If we look at what's gone on with,
Philip Rivers and all of that, Gruden would not be a fast stretch.
McCarthy coming back and, there's some names. Tomlin's obviously ruled himself out coaching this year.
Also, they have to trade for him as well.
Yeah.
Which they probably wouldn't do.
No, because they're going to need to repair some sides of the ball and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Bills, there's some very difficult kind of...
I'm liking the John Gruden potential.
I know, but then he left under a cloud and everything, so...
Oh, but it could be
It would be amazing.
Weird. I'd love it. It'd be so random. I could see their Bills doing that now. Especially if they got Philip Rivers interviewing. Jeez.
Oh, God. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So that is our show. We've done it again. There is one game to go, and it's not even next week.
No.
So whatever tosh we're going to fill next week's show with, probably some more double entendres and food conversations.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, get onto those socials, like, subscribe, give us some love, and we will be back next Monday night. But that's it for this week. That's our show. My name's Darren Lees.
And I'm JT.
Have an amazing week, and we'll see you all next Monday night at 6:30.